Hello everyone, I'm Aldo Donetti, lead PM in the Global Developer Experience Team, which is part of the Developer Division at Microsoft. Welcome to this new episode of Building Mobile-Ready Applications. Today I'm going to give you an overview of how to enable multiple languages in your application, the main issues you'll have to keep in mind to do so, and how to handle them. In the previous video, we have seen an introduction on how to handle data presentation in a world-ready application. Language enablement is about providing support for human languages in a computer environment. And in this episode, I'm going to show you some of the major issues you'd have to keep in mind when enabling input, output, and storage of data in multiple languages, and I'll show a few tips on how to deal with them. By the end of this chat, you should be able to answer some of these questions. What is Unicode and why should you care? Why it's not a good practice to walk strings a character at a time? What is the GB18030 encoding and why it could be important for you? Or be able to troubleshoot issues when characters are not displaying properly and learn how to type international characters and more. So this is the list of topics we'll talk about today. Characters are mapped to different encodings and glyphs are mapped to different fonts. Bidirectional languages can flow both left to right and right to left, and some languages require additional processing using shaping engines. Due to the interrelation of characters and placement in words like ligatures and accent marks. IMEs, or well, input method editors, are used to help input East Asian and other languages, some of which contain several thousand characters. A code page is an ordered set of characters in which a numeric index, code point values, is associated with each character. The mechanism of assigning a code point to a given character is called encoding. So basically, an encoding is a table that correlates a numeric value or index with a corresponding character. At the beginning, computers mostly spoke English to represent the whole set of characters needed for the English languages. A total of 128 distinct code points was needed, the ASCII range. And here you can see a sample of some of those characters. As computers became more widely used and as additional languages had to be accommodated, support for more comprehensive code pages that included different accented characters had to be added. Hence, ANSI code pages were added, which included the basic ASCII range plus some extended characters. In the sample here, you can see how the same code point can actually have represented different characters based on the code page. So some code pages were single byte ones, SBCS, single byte character sets. So each byte represented a character, but some languages like Japanese and others, of course, required more than 256 characters. So double or multi-byte character sets were created. MBCS stands for multi-byte character set. Unicode came as a solution to this proliferation of character sets and code pages. It's a single unified encoding for all character sets. It is normally represented with the 16-bit code points, and that allows for encoding of roughly 65,000 characters. But some languages alone have more than 80,000 characters. So more space was needed, and so the concept of surrogate pair characters was added. And more about that in a minute. And this allowed for more than a million characters to be encoded. The character repertoire was extended over time to include more languages and scripts. Today, we are at version 6, and about 250,000 characters are encoded. You can persist this encoding with multiple schemas, UTF-7, UTF-8, UTF-16, or UTF-32. We'll provide more details on those in a future episode. For now, it suffices to say that they're equally capable of encoding the whole repertoire, but there are advantages or disadvantages in using one or the other encoding. For instance, UTF-8 is mostly used over the wire communications, because it's variable in length and the ASCII range is encoded without data redundancy. So an ASCII file will have the same size regardless if it has been encoded with UTF-8 or ASCII. UTF-32 is a fixed length encoding. All characters represented as 32 bits, so it's easier to parse, but more space is wasted. The default Windows encoding is UTF-16 Little Indian, and we'll see in a future episode what that means. The type of encoding of a UTF encoded file can be detected by the presence of a BOM, byte order mark, signature at the very beginning of the file. The presence of a BOM is not mandatory, but we recommend that you add it to your UTF encoded file. The goal for Microsoft is that all components and applications be Unicode enabled, and most of them already are. Managed code applications, for instance, like .NET, Servlet, etc., are Unicode by default. More recent releases of the Unicode standard include support for surrogate characters. As I was saying earlier, two code point ranges are used to represent the surrogate pair. When code point from the high range is followed by a code point from the low range, two together represent a surrogate character or surrogate pair. This increases the total number of available characters by over 1 million. Here's a sample of a few characters from different scripts and what their binary representation looks like in different encodings. This is the representation in UTF-16. And you see how the last character, the surrogate, is actually represented with 32-bit, with a high surrogate and low surrogate. In UTF-32, all the characters are represented with 32 bits. In UTF-8, variable length, the M letter, for instance, is represented with 1 byte, while others are represented with longer sequences. And as you can see, other code pages like the Latin one 1252 or the Japanese 932 may or may not have encoded some of those characters. Visual Studio and the .NET framework, Silverlight, and most, if not all, of Microsoft technologies support Unicode already and surrogate pairs as well in user data. Surrogate pairs sometimes are not allowed, for instance, in Visual Studio as metadata, like in project names or source file names, or for using in programming tools like in variable names, method names, etc. Surrogate pair support is included by default in Vista and beyond. In order to add surrogate pair support to Windows XP, you must install the proper font packages, which will install both the font and the font entry to the font fallback key in the registry. Please mind that other Microsoft tools may have special considerations. For instance, in SQL, surrogate pairs are always allowed as data if you use Unicode-based files, ntext, nvarchar, nchar. But your searchers might return the wrong results depending on the population you have selected as the default one on the specific SQL instance, DB table, or field. Let's have a look at BiDi and Compass scripts. BiDi, the special processing and or rendering to properly be displayed. That includes bidirectional reordering, for instance, in Arabic and Hebrew, contextual shaping, again in Arabic and the Indic family of languages, display of combining characters, Arabic, Thai, and Indic, specialized word break and justification rules, like in Thai and Arabic again. So here we have a sample of complex scripts where you can see that characters are being rearranged or combined. The first sample is Sanskrit, and as you can see, four characters are totally combining into a single one. The second example is Tamil, interesting because one of the characters is reordered. The third sample is Thai, and three characters that, after being typed, display all together. Fourth example is Vietnamese, two accents combining, and Arabic. Here there's a sample with a different shaping of two characters being typed. Also, with respect to BiDi, let's see what's the difference between what we type and how it gets displayed. So on the left side of the slide here, you have the stack that represents how characters are typed. On the horizontal, you'll see how the characters are being displayed. So Arabic starts from right to left, so first character, second, third, fourth, and then digits instead are rendered left to right. So digit 1, 2, 3 dot 4, and then an event, a possible dot ending the sentence should actually be displayed on the left side. Furthermore, the four characters being typed get rendered together, so change shape and get rendered as in the corner at the bottom right of the page. So a few tips to deal with surrogates and complex scripts. Deal with strings as a whole whenever possible, and only deal with individual characters if there's no other choice, but please mind of surrogates and combining characters. To help you with that, the Donna framework provides some methods in the string info class that help you determine how to split a string in its UI elements. So, for instance, the parse combining characters method and the get text element enumerator allow you to walk the strings by UI elements, not by the physical representation of the string. What is GB18030 and how does it affect your application? It is a national encoding standard required by the Chinese government. Basically, it's an encoding that matches Unicode, but encodes each of the code points in a different way. So it requires both a character support, character repertoire support, and a feature support, because any feature that requires saving and loading files, especially text files, are required to allow opening and saving those files with that encoding.
If you're planning to sell your products in China, we recommend you research this standard in more detail to see how it applies to you.
Let's talk a bit about fonts now. So first, a little definition. A glyph is the actual shape, a bit pattern, outline, and so forth, of a character image.
For example, an italic A and a Roman A are two glyphs representing the same character.
Fonts are tables of glyphs. One or more glyphs are used to represent a single character on a computer display. Depending on the size of the character set a font is designed to support, a single font may hold anywhere from 80 to 50,000 characters. No single font contains glyphs for all characters in all character sets. So how do we support multiple scripts with a single font? We do that by font association. Font association is the automatic pairing of a font that contains ideographs with a font that does not contain ideographs. That allows the users to enter ideographic characters regardless of which font is selected. Font linking is a mechanism for linking missing glyphs to the currently selected font. Windows provides system-level font linking via the registry. And client programs can also provide their own custom linking, custom font linking. And font fallback is a mechanism for providing an alternate font for runs of characters not represented in the original font. Or we can achieve that by composite fonts, but we'll see them in a future episode. This is a quick sample of how different language versions of Windows support different default fonts, and notice that also the default size may be different. Full system level support for Chinese minority scripts is built in from Vista and onwards. How to determine if it's a font or an encoding issue? So say the string in the sample here does not appear correctly. If it appears as garbled characters, most likely it's an encoding issue. A conversion from ANSI to ANSI, from an ANSI code base that supported the original string to an ANSI code base that doesn't. Or multi-byte character set data mapped into a single-byte character set. Again, ANSI to ANSI conversion. If you see question marks, typically it would be an encoding issue. So a conversion from a Unicode to ANSI. So the characters are not in the target code page and therefore have been replaced with question marks. If you see boxes or squares, that's only a most likely font issue. Basically, there are no matching glyphs in the specified fonts, and other mechanism of linking or fallback fail. So the characters are fine. If you copy and paste them into another application that has better font support, you'll see them properly rendered. So there's no data loss. How do Japanese, Chinese, or Korean customers type characters in their own language, given that there are more characters than any keyboard could ever hold? They do it through input method editors, or IMEs for short. IMEs are processing layers between the keyboard and the application, so that there's no direct matching between what is being typed on the keyboard and what's actually being displayed. Windows 2000, XP, Vista, and Windows 7 ship with more than 50 keyboard layouts and different IMEs. And Microsoft Office may ship its own version for some languages of IMEs. So how do we add them? How do we, in general, add language support? You just go to the control panel, region and language options, select keyboard and languages, and change keyboard. The path may vary a little bit based on the Windows version here. I'm referring to Windows 7. And you just select and add different languages. So it's not required that you have a localized version of Windows to type any language. Let's just have a look at a quick sample of IME. So you go to your control panel, add the Japanese language, then you have a language toolbar, you select the language that you want to type, you select the input mode, in this case hiragana, you start typing, and a number of glyphs appear. So when you try to enter those characters, because you've typed those characters based on a phonetic representation, and since there are many available and possible options for of different characters for the same phonetics, then a candidate window is actually displayed.
We consider an application to have three level of IME support, and this is how we categorize them.
Level one is no IME awareness. So your application is not aware that IME is there. And so the composition window shows near the IME window, or could be upper left corner of your screen. Level two is composition window. It's at the input position, for instance, for Chinese and Japanese. Level three, no composition window. So direct input, like for Korean. Level three is actually in-place editing, because Korean does not require user to select from a list, since there's no ambiguity. So for Korean, we tend to support level three. For Japanese and Chinese, level two. And in general, this is transparent, especially if you're programming in managed code. This is totally transparent to you, so the controls behave correctly already. Only if you're trying to do more tricky things with the text input, you might require more detailed knowledge of how things work at the lower level. One tip that I could give you is to disable the IME for digits only fields. So if you know that a text box only could contain digits, then you might want to disable IME. We'll get more details into the next episode. So thank you for your interest in this topic, and I hope you have now a better understanding of what the encodings are and how your application should deal with them, and what the GB18030 encoding is and how it affects or may affect your application, what is a font, and how to troubleshoot some issues related to fonts and or encodings. This is the last of the overview type episode, and from the next one we'll actually be drilling down into more details and more detailed topics. Goodbye.